I knelt down upon my knee in prayer. Was the moment a beggar became a rightful heir.
Came to live within this heart of mine, and he filled me with glory divine.
And it happened that very moment he saved my soul. My name is recorded in the book of life in heaven. My sins are washed away by the blood of Calvary. Since the day that the blood was applied, forever I stand justified. And it happened that very moment he saved my soul. I'll never get over that love so rich and free. And the more that I live, the more it amazes me. How that just in one moment of time, forever I stand justified. And it happened that very moment he saved my soul. My name is recorded in the book of life in heaven. My sins are washed away by the blood of Calvary. Since the day that the blood was applied, forever I stand justified. And it happened that very moment he saved my soul. Since the day that the blood was applied, forever I stand justified. And it happened that very moment he saved my soul. And it happened that very moment, and it happened that very moment, and it happened that very moment he saved my soul.
All right, did we get the handouts? We are looking this summer. I haven't only had a few weeks. We've had stuff going on with the youth conference and so forth. Look at the. Did we get handouts? Okay, we'll read a couple of the verses there in Exodus. We will not read all of them. We're not going to look at all 10 tonight. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Bless us tonight. Speak to our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we mentioned as we started this series, truth is under attack, and we understand that. I mentioned something a couple weeks ago. I mentioned some very disturbing statistics from the Barna Research Group. They do research with Christians and others about topics and morality and so forth. I gave you the numbers last week, but I want to give you some new ones this week. The president of this group is named David Kinnaman. And he argues that the Christian ethic that used to be dominant in our society is no longer around. He says it has been replaced by what he calls a new moral code. In this new moral code, he says there are six main principles. Let me just give them to you real quick. Here's the principles. The best way to find yourself is by looking within yourself. 90% of U.S. adults in this survey said that they agreed completely or somewhat. 76% of people who said they are Christians agreed with that statement. By the way, that statement is garbage. If you knew that, I thought I'd just let you know. This next statement, people should not criticize somebody else's life choices. Now, by the way, they use that terminology because if you stand up for the truth, you say you're criticizing somebody's life choice. No, we're not. We're telling you the truth. We're telling you what God says. And if there's an issue there, the issue isn't between us and them. The issue is with God, not us. But that's how they put it. 89% of all adults and 76% of Christians agree. Here we go. To be fulfilled, that's the guiding principle number two. Number three is to be fulfilled in life, you should pursue the things you desire most. Here we go. 86% of Americans, 72% of those who say they're Christian agree. The highest goal of life is to enjoy it as much as possible. By the way, I'm all for enjoying life. I think the best way to do that is serve God and do whatever He says. But that's not the goal in life. The goal is to serve God, and the byproduct of that is you're going to enjoy what's going on, even though it may not be easy sometimes. 84% of adults agreed. 67% of Christians agree. By the way, if you don't believe that, look at social media. Look at that. And I have one social media. It's Instagram. I can't remember the last time I posted to it. And if you're looking for me to put inspirational verses, I don't do it. I have a picture of my grandchild eating garbage or something like that, or where I got the latest cup of coffee. That's it. I don't have time for that. But if you want to hear that, come to church. I'll give you all kinds of inspirational quotes. That's more for my family. So if you want to follow me, you're going to find out that we drove up the Oregon coast in a few weeks. Okay. But if you look at other people, it's like, oh, I'm just living the life. Really? Anyhow, we'll talk about that in a minute. Next, the number four, one, two, three. I thought this was an introduction. Yeah, we're here. People can believe whatever they want as long as those beliefs don't affect society. Those who agreed, 79%, 61% of Christians agreed with that. By the way, I shouldn't read this. It's going to take some time. If someone does something that's wrong, it is going to affect society. Okay. The last one is, any kind of sexual expression between two consenting adults is acceptable. 69% of adults said yes. 40% of Christians said they agreed. Here's his conclusion. He says, the highest good according to our society is finding yourself and then living by what's right for you. While we wring our hands about secularism spreading through the culture, a majority of church-going Christians have embraced this corrupt, me-centered theology. Now, let me say this, and please, don't misunderstand me. If you're new, do not get mad at me. I'm going to tell you where a majority of this started from, our public school system. You say, now you shouldn't say that. I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to say it. Because it's my job to say the truth. And you know why so many Christians would agree with those ignorant statements, anti-biblical statements? I'm going to tell you why. The majority of Christians in this country have been indoctrinated in the public school system. In 1960, they kicked God out of the school system. It's Christian Education Month, and I gotta say it. Someone's got to stand up and say the truth. Our public school system died in the 60s when they kicked God out. Yep. Now, every single one of these philosophies here is what's pushed in the school system. We've told you before, there's a poll that says over 90% of Christian children who go to church, who are raised in church, when they graduate from high school, they walk out the doors of the church never to come back. We come to church on Sundays and on Thursday night. They're in their church Monday through Friday. And by the way, one of the things that grieves me is it's going to become dangerous. If all the school systems follow through with what Obama said, your children, after PE, will go into the shower room and anybody can walk in. I read one of the things where one school said that their male teachers could go take a shower in the girls' locker room if they identify. Listen, it's not good. And so we're learning the Bible, and what we do is we graduate and we get older, and it's like we'll still go to church, but all that we've learned over there is still in our minds. So we hear these things, and it's like, well, you know, we don't have to be that crazy. We're being indoctrinated. I would do everything I could not to have my child in that system. Now listen, when I went to school, and I would have graduated, I hate to tell you this, you'll figure out how old I am, I would have graduated from high school in 2010. Okay, maybe not 2010. I would have graduated in 1980 if I had graduated. I was the kid in school that your parents warned you about. Stay away, okay? That was me. Well, I just remember the nonsense, Brother Robert, that I was taught in school. And it's not better. And so I'm just saying, as Christians, we are so biblically ignorant. That's one issue. The other issue is if we've been indoctrinated by what we see and hear in our public school system, we need to be very careful about that. And I'm not trying to be mean. And maybe I take things too seriously, but it grieves me when I see some of the things I've seen from students that went to our school and have been pulled out and what happens sometimes. It grieves me. It's like, what happened? They were indoctrinated. And by the way, don't pull out stories. You know, I know somebody that they went through public school and they made it. That happens sometimes by the grace of God. But you know what I found? That usually happens when they don't even have safe parents. And even then, it's a crapshoot. We're talking about stewardship this month. You say, well, I haven't harped on this a lot during our Christian Education Month, so let me get it off my chest tonight. We'll be good. But we're talking about stewardship of money. One of the reasons we don't give is because we trust our money and we have trouble trusting God. And I'm just going to tell you one thing. Some of you parents have trouble trusting your children to God. You want them to be doctors and lawyers, and you're going to do whatever you can to keep them away from God, and you're going to pull them out of our Christian school. You won't let them even go to our Bible college for 1 year because you don't trust that if your kid follows God's will that they will be taken care of. And so I'm not saying that to be mean. I am tired of seeing good kids get indoctrinated and go the wrong direction. Okay, I just heard about another one, and it's like, it kills me. And I'm like, how can you send that poor child to the public school system? It's sad. And parent, let's trust God about that thing. And maybe you don't understand that, you're new, and please don't let me blow you out of the water, but I got to tell you the truth. And when you see these results, it's like, why are so many Christians don't get it? Because they're being indoctrinated in the wrong place. I feel for our bus kids. That's why when I'm on the bus route, the ones that are going to make it, we got to get them into school. Because we can't undo in one day a week what's being done to them 5 days. I can look back at much of the garbage I got involved with in my life, and I can trace it to two things. The Espositos, they got saved, amen? Okay. Not you, Robert. They already corrupted me. And I'd be embarrassed to tell you the things I did at school. At school. The things teachers told me at school. And so, that's that. Okay, let's get to the Ten Commandments. By the way, the Ten Commandments aren't welcome in our school. The Bible is not welcome in our school. That should tell you something right there. And everything else is, not the Bible. I wonder why. Okay, I feel good. Number one, we started looking at commandment number one. Thou shall have no other gods before me. What is that? God wants an exclusive relationship. T.T. and Angela are getting married. You know why they're getting married on Saturday? They don't know any better, okay? No. They're getting married because they want that relationship they have to go to a new level and be exclusive. It's make a commitment in front of everybody right here that, listen, she's mine and I'm his. Well, I'm not. You know what I'm saying. If I was her. That they are each other's. And they're committing to have that exclusive relationship with one another. That's what God wants with us. He doesn't want anything or anybody to come between us. Most Christians want to be part, want Christ to be a part of their lives, but not the center. We said last week, and I won't go over it, there's only one God, and we taught about that. Number two, this is all new, if you look on your list now. Number two, there's only one right religious belief system. If there's only one God, then there's only one right system. He only has one set of truth. He only has one correct belief. There's a distinct difference between Christianity and other religions. Now, the word religion is only used a couple times in the Bible, and it's not used in a positive sense. Okay? Religion is man trying to work their way to God. Christianity is God offering eternal life based on what he did. Not anything that we do. And there is only one right religious belief system. Paul preached in the book of Acts, and he told them to turn from being without God, even though they had very many different deities, which they did serve. Look at the verse in Acts there. and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from those vanities. Every God they were worshiping, he uses the word vanity. That's the word empty or vain. It's just, there's nothing to it. You're worshiping these gods, but because they're not really gods, it's empty, it's vain. He said, you need to turn from those unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things therein. It's not easy in our society, in our social climate, to get up and say, there is a truth. How many of you see that the bumper sticker coexist? All the different religions. I'm all for coexisting. But we don't coexist at the exclusion of truth. If God says, if Jesus said, we may have the verse there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. And if someone believes something that's not that, we love them. I don't hate them. But it's not true. Well, you know, all roads lead to God. Okay. When we go on vacation, we're going to go up north. If I get on the freeway and I take the 10 and I head that way, I ain't getting to Washington. That road doesn't lead anywhere. It'll probably take me to the Grand Canyon. You know what the Grand Canyon is? It's a big hole in the ground. I've been there. It's beautiful. But that's not Washington. My in-laws don't live that way. So maybe I should go that way. I'm not sure. Okay? No, I love my in-laws. They're great. But they live that way. There's a certain road that takes me there. There's only one road to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. Well, that's hateful. Not hateful. It's hateful to lie to somebody and say, it's okay if you believe something different. You know, look, if you were going to drink poison and I said, you know, I believe that'll kill you. But if you don't believe that, go ahead and drink it. It's okay. They're going to die. Okay, so there's only one truth. We need to understand that. There's only one right belief system. There's one God. Number three, there's only one reliable source of truth about God. That is the Bible. By the way, in the Bible, I like the way God identifies himself there. He identifies his name. He says, I am the Lord. His name describes who he is. That's not his name like you have a name. He's Lord. He is over all. So that identifies him. And he gives us his nature. He is thy God. He's a personal God. By the way, if you look at many of the deities which they worshiped in the Bible, they were very grotesque. And by the way, most of their worship involved immorality. Their worship was bad. Sacrificing their children. All kinds of nonsense. But we have a God that is a personal God, and he wants to have a personal relationship with us. Fact of the matter is, he wants to bless us. He wants us to put ourselves in a place where we're worshiping him and we're obeying him so that he can pour his blessings on our life. Thank God for that. Many religious books have been written, but only one by God. That is the Bible. By the way, and let me say this is a lesson for another day. That's why many are trying to change the Bible. Now, we use the King James Bible. We don't just use it for any reason. We use it, there's many reasons. The other Bibles have been translated from corrupt text. We need a pure Bible. And God only has one word, his Bible. You don't find God's truth in the Quran or worshiping a tree or doing this or doing that. His truth is found right here. You don't find it when people say, you know, God spoke to me last night. No, you had something weird to eat before you went to bed. Okay, that's called a dream. That's not God. If God talked to you, you would know it. By the way, how does God talk to us? Right there. You say, well, God has something special he wants to tell me. It's in the book. It's right there. That's all you need. Everything you need is right here. He spoke to you. It's funny to think that we would want God to speak to us audibly when we don't listen to what he's written to us verbally. So we need to get into that. God speaks through his word. Number four, our belief about God affects every part of our life. So, it is important. We live really, say, what does a person really believe? Watch how they live. That tells you really what they believe. Okay? Person says, well, I believe this, but their life shows you they're doing something else. They really don't believe it, because if you really believe something, you will base your life on it. So if we really believe it and we understand God's truth, we will live our life in accordance with that truth. And our life will line up with what God wants us to have. It's very important. I like John 8:32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall know. It doesn't set you free. Make you free. Gotcha. Set you free is like, okay, no, it's usually a process. We have to grow. But the truth can make us free. A Christian that says, I just feel like there's these things in my life and I just feel in knots emotionally and physically and spiritually. You know, that's not from God. That's because we're not allowing the Word of God and we're not allowing Christ to free us. How do we make our decisions? Well, we can do like most Christians do because they've been indoctrinated, but what they do is like, what does everybody else say? Okay, well, I don't want to be different. I'm going to go with that. Now, me and Jesus got an agreement, and I still love Jesus, but yeah, I believe all this nonsense. You don't have an agreement with Jesus. Amen. The only agreement Jesus gave us is his word. Yes. Okay, so we have to understand his truth. Number five, it's our responsibility to know the truth about our God. That's your responsibility. Ignorance of the truth is no excuse. I've mentioned many times, I got pulled over one time and I got a ticket because I had someone gave me a nice set of tires for my truck. They were really cool. They were really wide too. And they went out past the truck. I got pulled over. He says, you know why I'm getting pulled over? No, I have no idea. He goes, you don't have mud flaps on your truck and the tires are past the truck. By law, you got to have mud flaps. I'm like, seriously? There's rapists running the street and you're going to pull me over because I don't have mud flaps on my truck. He goes, did you know that? I said, no, sir. I thought, you know, he's like, okay, can I have your license? Didn't matter that I didn't know it. He gave me a license. I had to fix that thing. I had to go out and get mud flaps and take it down there and show it to him. Look, we think, well, I just don't know God's truth, so I'm not accountable for it, or I won't suffer the consequences of not obeying it. No, we're responsible to know. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, they also had other issues. They rejected it too. But it's like, listen, they just didn't know the truth, and it was costing them. Do you know we're responsible? You know, it's a sad thing that cultists know their false doctrine better than we know our true doctrine. That's a shame. If someone comes who doesn't know the Lord and they have this false belief system, and we wouldn't know false ideas if we saw them. It's because we're not in God's word. We're responsible to know those things. Thank God, you ought to be at church. You ought to be in all the services. I understand all that. But listen, you don't just eat at your house 3-4 times a week. You probably eat that many times a day, okay? Right? Listen, we need to eat. We need to get God's truth. We need to be in it. We have three choices. We can either neglect it. That's no excuse in God's eyes. We can reject it. That's a bad place to be. Or we can forget it. I just kind of let it go off to the side. No, we got to get into it. We got to understand it. Number six, we must ultimately remember what God wants from us. Why does God want this ultimate, this exclusive relationship? Look at Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. God wants all of us. You see that word all? All is not open to interpretation. What does all mean? It means all. Does it mean a little? All. Does it mean some? It means all. Does it mean occasionally? It means all. God loves us so much, he wants us to love and have that relationship with him also. God wants everything from us. God demands our total devotion. And it's based firmly on who he is and what he's done. Look at the verse in Isaiah. Love this verse. Tell ye and bring them near. Let them take counsel together who hath declared this from ancient time. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. He's our only option. And by the way, he's the best option. Okay? He's it. He's perfect. He's all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful. Cares about you. Cares about me. Cares about the world. And he wants to have that relationship with us. And then lastly, underneath this first commandment, we must remember that he initiated this relationship. And that's good. He initiated this relationship. Look at Romans. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the, what's the word? Ungodly. Guess what? Before we were saved, hopefully not after we're saved, before we're saved, we were ungodly. That didn't stop him. He died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. By the way, we have people that put their lives on the line all the time. Servicemen, okay? Responders, police, all of those, they put their life on the line. Some people do that. Look at this. But God commendeth his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Some people, they'll die for the good of somebody. You would probably die for your family. But Jesus died for those who weren't even seeking him. Jesus died for those who were still in their sin, which is an offense to God. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know why it's exclusive? Because God wanted us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And so that gives him the right to say, listen, I want an exclusive relationship. That just makes sense. Our option are we can have that exclusive relationship with God, or we can have a relationship with something else that is not a God. That's a false God. Number two, the second commandment kind of goes hand in hand with this. God wants nothing to replace him. Nothing to replace him. We read the verses about, really, we talk about idolatry. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that in the earth beneath, or that in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. If God wants an exclusive relationship, then this is one of the main reasons or the main ways that exclusive relationship is broken. Think of the idols that he's talking about as the other person that breaks up a marriage. A marriage is a man and a woman. If one of them cheats and brings another person into their life, that person is wrecking the marriage. That's somebody that is breaking that relationship with the other spouse. That's what we do to God. And by the way, we seem to do it too often. We seem to do it accidentally sometimes. We seem to do it because we don't get it. We put our affection in the wrong spot. That is called idolatry. The object of false God or false God we worship takes God's place. Takes God's place. God's on the throne. Nothing, and by the way, as we talk about stewardship and we talk about people call it lordship. He's already the Lord. But really what that is you allowing him that place in your life, not fighting him. He is the Lord, but we don't allow him that status in our life. Well, what we do here is we're replacing him and allowing something else to take that status in our life. One of the most amazing moments in the Bible is when Moses is on the mountain getting the commandments, and here is Aaron down here with the Israelites leading them into idolatry while Moses is up there getting the commandment about idolatry. He's leading them right away from God. Look at the verses there. And when the people saw Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." Now, by the way, they came out of Egypt, which had many gods. They came out of Egypt, but the problem was Egypt never came out of them. And so right away, Moses is gone. We need another god. We need to replace him. We need something. Now, you think Aaron, Moses' assistant pastor, would keep it together. Well, let's see how he reacts. And Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons," hello, "and of your daughters, and bring them unto me." And all the people break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at the hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." While the very finger of God's writing this commandment in stone, Aaron's breaking it. Look at verse 7 there. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Get you down, for thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." God's kind of acting like your wife does sometimes. You come home, it's like, "Hey, your child got in trouble at school today." So last time I checked, you were the one that brought him into this world. Okay? God's like, "Moses, they're messing up. Go deal with it." What's the problem? The desire to replace God just seems to always have been in man's nature. We are always going to worship something. That's why he says in 1 John, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." Amen. He even likes what he said, so he amened himself. We just have this desire also to depict God. How can you worship a God when you sit right there and you made it up out of your own mind? You know, get all the gold and, "Hey, let's put this, hey, you know, let's give it a couple horns and let's do this." And, "Oh, that's our God." You just made him. By the way, there are no pictures of God. By the way, I wouldn't have pictures of Jesus because that's not Jesus. It's not. It's some skinny guy who looks like a girl, who wears a right dress, and looks like he's apologetic for living. That's not Jesus. Jesus was a real man, and he was God in the flesh, and he told you the truth. But why do we have to see him? We don't need to see him. It says you don't need, because whenever you try to put God to pen and paper, whenever you try to put him to stone or all this, you're creating an idol. And men have a tendency. God is beyond our human comprehension. Why don't we just leave it at that? John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit." We don't need to see him. He says, "and in" what? Truth. You say, "But how am I going to know what God's like?" Here's how you know what God's like. Read the Bible. It describes God to the umpteenth degree. If we don't read the Bible and we understand what God is like, then what we do is we try to make a God and we fit him to our image. Right? In 2000, I think it was 12, there was an article in, I think it was Newsweek, about the cool Jesus. It has a picture of Jesus on the front cover, and it looks like he's in Times Square, and he's got a suit on, and he's a yuppie. And their whole thing is, we're trying to make Jesus cool. I've mentioned many times, there's a church over here in Carson, and they had a picture of Jesus. He looked like a gangbanger, flashing gang sign. And he was saying, "What's up?" There's a word for that. That's blasphemy. Why do we have to bring Jesus down to our level? He is so far above us. But we always have to do that. We have to have an idol. Worship is what he wants. What is worship ascribing worth to? I've mentioned it many times. Why do we struggle with idolatry? Because we ascribe worth to things that are not worthy. It can be, and you know, we're so farther down the road in our sophistication and our false gods. We don't worship the sun god. We don't worship a stone that we made. We're not like Aaron. By the way, I like Aaron's response when Moses came down and said, "What happened?" He goes, "You know, I just took this gold and I threw it in the fire, and whammo, this calf jumped out." Like, brilliant. That's great. You know, we're always looking. We don't do those anymore. We worship things by giving our time to them that we would give to God, giving our energy to it instead of giving it to God, giving our money to it. Sports can become a god, right? Why? Because on Sunday, we won't come to church because my favorite team is playing. Now, by the way, if my favorite team is playing on Sunday, I know they're losing, so why would I want to watch that? They're not doing very good. Okay, listen, it could be my, you know, this is going on, or I want to do this, or a job, you could put that before God. Listen, we got to be very, very careful. What's the most important thing to you in the world, really? You say, "I want it to be the Lord." Then check yourself. I got to check myself. What am I giving my time to? What really dominates my life? If there's something in your life that just tends to consume you, it's the most important thing in your life, that can become a god. Let's put the Lord first. He is worthy. And we're not the Philistines. We're not worshiping Dagon. We're not the Moabites or any of those other ones that were worshiping Baal. Or you name any of the other false gods, Ashtaroth. No, we're really a lot more sophisticated than that. Many of us, if we're honest, we worship money. Some of you young kids, you're afraid to serve God because of what your peers would say. In essence, what you're saying is, they're more important to me than God. Years ago, Pastor and I and a couple other guys chased some runaways to San Diego in the middle of the night. Someone had told us they're down there. So, you know, it was 2 or 3 in the morning. We went there, and the kid was with us that said, I talked to him on the phone. He said they're in his house. So we left him in the car. We went in there, and the kid was there, and his mom. It's like, no, they're not here. And we knew he was lying. And we didn't want to tell him the other kid was in the car, you know. And so we got in the car and we started getting the freeway. And I got mad. And I'm like, no, we're going back. And Pastor's like, I don't want to make this guy, you know, we were tired. We weren't thinking. He goes, no, I'm not going to make him, you know, tell him in front of his friend. I'm like, why not? We drove down here. It's 3 in the stinking morning. Let's do this. Pastor's like, you know, you're right. Let's go. And he's just looking back like, yeah, we're going to go up there. You're going to the house with us. And you're going to tell him what he told you on the phone. Kind of had no choice then. They still lied to us, and the kid's mother wouldn't let us check the bedroom, so it didn't go very well. It's like, listen, the truth is more important than your friend, because your friend's lying to us. But we put all these things in front of God. We still say we love God, but do our actions really back that up? Because if I read the statistics right that I read to you earlier, there's a lot of people that don't even know what God believes. But they'll go to church on Sunday. That's why it's very important we understand the basics and we don't let anything slip between us and our God. Let's pray.